Coming up next from the grassy knoll, a terrifying look into the Orwellian world of brainwashing, disinformation, and ultimately, control over you.
Segment of the grassy knoll is upon y'all. You'll hear this, let's see, I guess the week of November 12th. And back with us, and it's been some time since she was last on, Dr. Rebecca Carley. And Doc, first of all, it's good to hear from you again.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be back on the show with you.
Now you're going to have to fess up. Did you go to the website and see all that was done there? Because of the last time you came on and what you had said?
In terms of the movies, yes, I was very amazed. And as a matter of fact, I want to just give you another movie to check out that I just saw recently, because this is something I do on a regular basis, is go to Blockbuster and rent different videos. It's truly amazing how many of them are dealing with viruses and epidemics.
Yeah.
But one of the most shocking ones that I saw is a Christian movie called Evil Behind You. Check that out. It's really amazing. It actually deals with how injected viruses bring out demons and allow demons to take over people. Now, unfortunately, which of course is true, I actually have one client whose son received the meningitis vaccine, and she came on my show and talked about this on my archives on bbsradio.com. It's the one where I talk about the spiritual assault of inoculations. And how her son, she is convinced, was actually possessed by a demon after he received the meningitis vaccine. Unfortunately, you'll never fail to see that in these movies, the solution is always a serum or a vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's always the solution. And, of course, that's where the disinformation comes in. You know, they're injecting people with viruses. Well, that is a vaccine. And then their solution is another vaccine. So that's where the disinformation comes in. As you know, they're getting ready for people to line up to get the bird flu vaccine. Once there's one case that they make up, or possibly there is a case of bird flu in this country, and the bird flu vaccine will cause the bird flu pandemic.
Well, I say this sarcastically, a little sardonically, and somewhat comically. But I also have found it's the truth, and that is usually these cretins wait until after the shopping season so that, you know, they can rake the money in from the retail outlets. And well, it's true. You'll never hear a come Thanksgiving. You'll never hear a thing about the bird flu. They'll come out and get you in January or February after everybody's done shopping. But I also wanted to say to you, too, to be specific, and that is we were dealing with just with 9/11 there at that time, and you're right that whatever's coming down the pike, you can probably pick up in what you're seeing now drama-wise. And again, as you didn't really say this, but it was kind of implicit, and that there is really no such thing as science fiction. They're just telling you stuff ahead of time.
Exactly.
And, well, anyway, your statement about in their sick Masonic code, if they tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it, it's okay. Now, John Valentini, an Australian, heard that, and he was, well, motivated enough, Doc, that he went off and he's writing a book. And what also came to the fore because of that, although we didn't call it that at that time, was this idea of predictive programming, and that is either having a wink and a nod at the population or actually conditioning them, for what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's even gotten wider than the days when you were saying the Sci-Fi Channel and mostly Hollywood stuff, because now you're starting to see on regular major networks that when you see shows like Jericho, that's got a certain agenda to it, and you didn't see that like 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So anyway, we owe you a debt for that, and I've continued with it to the extent that I can. Talking about predictive programming, and it's got a lot of people's eyes and ears occupied, and rightly so. Now, there's a second thing before I get done gassing you all up there, and that is I want folks to understand something, too. Doc, when you were still living in Long Island, Down here in Florida, a woman came to me who felt pretty much that her son had been implanted. Now, she may have very well been right. You saw the film on it. It's not conclusive because you got a second or third generation image, and it's kind of hard. You thought, well, you know, there is something going on, but you'd have to see more. Now, and I'm telling this mostly to the listeners. The young man had gone up to his aunt's in Long Island, not far from you. That's how he did his summers. They had a restaurant, I guess, there on the Sound or on the Atlantic Ocean. It was a beach type of thing. So the woman said, and this woman was definitely distraught and probably past, I guess you could say, her peak in a sense. And she said, well, look, my son's up there. Would you talk to my sister, who is his aunt? And I'm like, okay, because I know that she's, you know, when this woman started going, Doc, she just, and it's true, but she just gave too much information out. And what do people do? They look at you like you got five heads. And this is what had happened there. But I did call up the aunt. And she was very good. I said, you know, your sister probably is right about a lot of things. But I said, would you be willing to take the young man to, that would be you, Dr. Carley. Mm-hmm. And you said you would. And I thought that was big of you because, you know, even though at that time I said, you know, I'll take care of the finances because, you know, you're going to do a, I mean, you should be compensated for what you do. And that was only fair, and we agreed on that. Unfortunately, though, I asked the woman not to go up and call. Just let the aunt talk to the kid and see if it was okay, and then they'd go off to you. But the mother couldn't hold back, and it just blew the whole thing up. You know, it just everybody went deeper into hiding more or less from her, and I think she got so destabilized that I fear the worst for her. But anyway, what does this all mean? A lot of people pop off, Doc, about, yeah, I'll do this, or yeah, I'll help you out. And then they don't do it, you know. And I mean, when I asked you, and I hadn't talked to you at that time for over a year or so, and you said yes. So I think that's huge because, you know, everybody can talk the talk, but very few walk it. So thanks again for that.
Well, thank you. And I just want to say that that was some time ago. And over the years, I've had many people contact me. As a matter of fact, one of the most fascinating cases, excuse me, was... Sorry, we've just been sprayed heavily with chemtrails here in North Carolina, and I'm really suffering from it. A woman that had gone to Duke University for a plastic surgery procedure came out of the plastic surgery and was convinced that they had done something to her along the lines of a chip, and she did a lot of research and found out that, in fact, that hospital was experimenting on implantable chips to treat Parkinson's patients, and she was convinced that she had been used as a control subject, and what better person to use than a plastic surgery patient because yep. They're going in there for some plastic surgery. They don't have any quote-unquote disease. And, in fact, I found that there was a very high likelihood that she had been chipped. Of course, what do you do when that situation arises? How are you going to find a surgeon that you can trust to remove the chip? It's really scary what's going on, and that's why I always tell people, if I was you, I would stay out of the hospital if at all possible. Unless you have trauma, as far as I'm concerned, there's no reason to walk through the doors because you never know what's going to happen once you get in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you don't have to get cut on, don't do it. Don't go.
Exactly.
And, you know, this elective surgery, well, how elective is it? If it's really, really elective, you can probably live without it. Of course, it's easy for me to say. My wife had a situation where she had to go in for a very critical situation, but that was it. It had to be done.
Right. And if you have to go in, let me just say that it's very important that your family watch over you 24/7.
You got it.
Because even if they don't have some kind of devious motive at hand, the mistakes that are made by themselves can kill you very easily. I mean... the practice of medicine is probably the biggest cause of death in this country today. So whether or not they do something intentionally or just by mistake, it's very important to have somebody there to watch you to make sure that nothing is done that shouldn't be done.
Well, in the days when I lived in New York, my feeling was, if anything ever happened to me in the city, do me a favor, do not take me to Bellevue. If you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is also, every time she had a surgery, I was fortunate enough to be able to stay 24/7. I brought my own food, my own water. And it was interesting, this last time out down here at Tampa General, which is an excellent, probably the best hospital in the area, if not the whole West Coast. And you never know how nurses or are going to take this, you know, or whatever. But we had somebody that when she saw what I did, she had this smile on her face, like, cool.
know? Oh, yeah.
So it was somebody who understood exactly what you did and was not offended in the least, and probably, obviously, with that smile, knowingly, she knew the reason why we were doing what we were doing.
Well, let me just say that the nurses are the hope for the medical profession.
Yeah, you got it.
I cannot tell you how many nurses I have as clients, how many call me up to talk to me about what's going on because they know that they can trust me. As a matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I had a nurse from Canada call me and tell me, well, first of all, she wanted to get a consult from me because, of course, all nurses are forced to be inoculated with disease
yeah.
as well,
mm-hmm.
and they're all getting all these autoimmune diseases and cancer also. But she actually told me, and I knew that this was going on because I've been involved with a number of cases, but this was the first time I had a nurse actually tell me that when she did the night shift, they were actually killing the elderly people on the night shift. They were killing them with mismatched blood transfusions and morphine. And she actually objected to this. She did not want to participate, and the other nurses were giving her a hard time, making fun of her, because she didn't want to commit euthanasia on the elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's going on. People have to realize that, and this is happening all over the world, not just in Canada and the U.S., they consider the elderly useless
yep.
eaters,
mm-hmm.
and they have a very big objective to get rid of these people. And, of course, all the different countries, especially ours, they have no money in the Medicare Trust Fund. Congress stole it long ago. So rather than just print out more Federal Reserve notes, what they would rather do is take these people out, and that's what they're doing. It's so evil you can't even comprehend it.
Yeah, and I believe that there are places that are definitely designated for such, but I also think that wildly, you know, how much are the surgeons really upset if they lose an old one on the table? It's, whoops, that's the way it goes. Usually they don't have much of a advocate if they don't have their spouse.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I mean, and you can understand, Doc, too, and I will move away from this, but I'm glad you brought this up also. And that is, you know, whenever my wife was had one of the four surgeries she had since 2001, we made sure we never did it during the wintertime down here. Because this place gets inundated with, you know, the older people, snowbirds and such.
Yeah,
and I mean, you go in there, the doctors are maxed out, the nurses are maxed out, everything is crowded. I mean, you don't want to go on a table with a surgeon who's worked on, you know, 17 gray hairs before you got there, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, these are things that people are going to have to obviously consider. I mean, no one has the problems in other states like we do down here during the winter, but still, you cannot trust... Well, you know that. You can't trust pharmaceuticals, doctors, or hospitals.
Exactly.
And we call it the iron triangle from which you never will emerge.
Exactly.
Now, you get involved in a situation that has to deal with pharmaceuticals, and I think front and center of what you wanted to speak to today was the deal with vaccines.
Yeah.
What is the deal with vaccines?
Well, before I talk about that, I just want to underline what I said at the beginning of the program, and that is that I ask all your listeners to consciously watch the movies, all the movies they watch, whether
mm-hmm.
they be movies they rent, movies on TV or whatever, and just see
mm-hmm.
how many movies are being done now to scare you with viruses and epidemics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exactly what you said. They're putting this into people's consciousness because they want them to be scared of all these bad viruses. And the reason they're doing this is because their solution is vaccines. And if people go to my website, www.drcarley.com, drcarley.com, and read my paper, Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, Causing an Epidemic of Genocide, in that document I explain how inoculations corrupt the immune system. They turn on the B cells, which make the antibody, and make the antibody production go into overdrive. This is the cause of all autoimmune diseases, of which autism is one. The mercury scam with autism is just that. They're trying to make people believe that if they take the mercury out of vaccines, they'll be safe. A bigger lie has never been told. It's all about the autoimmune attack that's caused by the B cells going crazy. On the other hand, the other arm of the immune system, the T cells, which are the little Pac-Man cells that are actually created by our creator to gobble up the bacteria, viruses, and cancer cells, those cells are put into shutdown mode because you can't have both arms of the immune system working at full effectiveness simultaneously. So while the B cells are stimulated to work overtime, the T cells are shut down, and this is the reason that inoculations lead one to get cancer. Because everyone has cancer cells in their body. This is just the way it is in this toxic world in which we live. And if your immune system is working, of course the T cells will take care of the cancer cells and you won't develop tumors. So when your immune system is not functioning properly, that's what causes the tumor cells to reproduce and develop into tumors. So inoculations cause all autoimmune diseases and cancer. This is the horror that I have had to realize, is that my profession is causing the biggest epidemic the world has ever known. And I will say that if you go to my website, there's many very important things on there. One of the things that's on there is a challenge that I had put on my website over a year ago for any vaccine promoter or mercury disinformer in regards to autism to come on my internet radio show on bbsradio.com to prove me wrong. And if they did, I would pay them a $10,000 reward. Of course, there's been no takers, and there can be no takers, because my documents are self-evident proof that this is the truth. Not to mention the fact that I also posted a response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Guide on my site over a year ago. And when I was writing that, I actually went back into my medical books and found that the truth is buried amongst the lies. And this is what the medical masons, the anti-Hippocratics, this is what they do, just as you were discussing. You know, they have to tell us what they're doing, but they do it in such a way that the truth is buried. You know, you can't see the forest but for the trees. And but when you go into the medical books with a critically thinking mind and you catch up on your sleep and things of that nature, you can find the truth in there. And I was amazed that I was actually able to find descriptions of diseases, such as something called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which when you read the description, it is autism. The only thing about it is that they say it's always fatal. Well, obviously it's not always fatal. We have such an epidemic of autism in this country today. But what they did was they changed the name of the disease to hide the fact that it's caused by the measles virus. There's also something called acute hemorrhagic necrotizing encephalomyelitis. When you read the description of that, you realize it is sudden infant death syndrome. In most cases, the shaken baby syndrome, because the only thing that differentiates the two is if the child has any evidence of trauma, you know, a few black and blue marks or perhaps some old fractures, then they'll claim that the child was shaken, and they'll not only, you know, you'll end up with a dead child, but they'll put you in jail for life, as they tried to do to Alan Yurko in Florida. So this is how bad it is, folks, that they know exactly what they're doing. And they just change the name of the diseases to hide the fact that the vaccines are the cause of all of it.
Now, this seems elemental, and that everyone should know it. And if it is indeed true, you got to wonder why it isn't known. And that is, I've heard it said by a couple of doctors on this side of the street who get it, that the whole idea of vaccination is bad science and bad medicine. And what made me think of that is what you were saying about when you get injected, what does the immune system do but go after the vaccine?
Well, I will take it one step farther and say not only is it bad medicine, but it's causing all autoimmune disease and cancer in the way that I described. And one of the things that I've come up with, which I must say is opening up a lot of eyes, is the fact that, of course, they're telling everybody to get rid of standing water on their property because we don't want these bad mosquitoes around to inject us with their deadly viruses and cause all these different encephalitises.
Mm-hmm.
One of the new ones they're reporting here in North Carolina is something called La Crosse encephalitis. Who knows where that came from, although I'm sure it came from one of the 409 level 4 biowarfare laboratories we have in this country where they're playing with these things. But the point is that if you are afraid of a mosquito, what I always tell people to ask their white coat is, what magic occurs when you take that virus and you put it into a bottle and you add mercury, formaldehyde, aluminum, MSG, sulfites, all kinds of other garbage into there, making a toxic witch's brew, and you inject it with a syringe, what magic happens where all of a sudden that becomes a good thing? And, of course, that will always send the white coat running for the bathroom. They cannot answer that question. So So all I can say is that there is no proof that vaccines are safe. There is no proof that vaccines are effective. But what my information proves is that vaccines are actually causing the corruption in the immune system that leads to all autoimmune disease and cancer. And when people realize this, the shockwaves that will send out will actually stop this Holocaust. And my goal is to stop it before the bird flu vaccine is unleashed, because, of course, once they unleash that puppy, that will cause the bird flu pandemic, and that will give the minions in the District of Criminals an excuse to put us into martial law. So people have to get their power back, get rid of the fear, and just, you know, plan on just saying no. Because as was proven a couple of years ago, if you remember when President Bush tried to mandate that smallpox vaccine for all emergency personnel, a few of them did go along with it and, you know, roll up their sleeve and take the shot. Many people had heart attacks and died. But most of them said, no, thank you. And what happened? They just kind of let that all
That's
go.
Right.
Because
yeah.
if enough people just say they're not going to do it, what are they going to do? There's nothing they can do.
What's been forgotten about to a certain extent, I mean, this is not to raise this up for the purpose of paranoia, but, yeah, in back of all that took place with 9/11 and then the anthrax attacks and all this stuff, and probably also in reaction to, and if not directly, to West Nile, which is the first freak out that they spun out on us, you know, in recent time, to be followed by SARS, of course, now the bird flu is floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what we've forgotten about is that there was a rush by state governments to adopt some form of or some version of the emergency health powers, right?
The Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, yes.
Yeah, by Gostin out of Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some states had reasonable ones, if there is such a thing. Florida is completely, it's just brutal.
Well, as expected. I mean, Jeb Bush is was the governor, so what do you expect?
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen, Ginny Brown-Waith is one of our representatives, and I mean, I don't vote for any of those creeps anyway, but, I mean, she was completely in back of this. And the language in that particular version that Florida uses, it's basically held harmless, and we'll do anything we have to save you, which is bounce you down the street, you know, on the way to the quarantine. So now that's been forgotten about. That kind of hubbub has gone away. I also think that probably they realized that if they were to fully adopt the bill, they really didn't even have the National Guard personnel to do it. They didn't have enough physicians to do it. It's you know, it's great that you have this idea, but you can't make it work. And what bothered me, though, was like, look, you ain't taking me out of my house. You want to quarantine me in my own house? I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, but you're not taking me to some, you know, stadium or some other place because I don't want to get the good vaccine.
Right. Well, not only that, but of course, if you went to a place like that, you would be exposed to all the vaccinees mm-hmm. that did get the vaccine, and you would not have your store of colloidal silver and homeopathics against the bird flu and other things that are available with you. So you would be at risk of having a problem. But this is what I try to get all people to realize, to just lose the fear and realize that they can't do this. They're trying to scare us. I'm sure that you heard that just last week I got an email about how they've now passed law in the House of Representatives, the thought crime legislation. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm laughing as I'm reading that stuff. Because let them try to enact that crap. All they're doing is basically taking off their mask. And they don't have much more to do to prove what they're really all about. Now, I find it very interesting that now we have in Pakistan this leader that our alleged president, who was selected, of course, and not elected, is supporting, is now putting martial law down on all his people. And I watch all the different talk shows because I want to see what the sheep are watching. And it's very interesting to hear how many of these people are basically condemning that act. And I think what they're doing is they're just trying to get feelers to see, you know, what are the sheep thinking about these things? What would they do if that happens here? Because, of course, that is what they want to do. But it's not going to be possible because too many people are waking up in this country thanks to wonderful shows such as yours. They are getting their information. They're getting the truth. And I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself. I mean, the information is out there. You also have to gain the power of discernment and learn how to recognize the truth. When you hear the truth, it sends a vibration up and down your spine. At least that's what it does to me. I get a chill when I hear the truth. I know when I hear the truth. And you have to get detoxed enough so that you can reach that point, because you have to, the truth is going to save your life. And you also have to lose your fear, because they want us all to be nothing but ostriches, to bury our heads in the sand and just wait for some lion to come and bite off our tail feathers. But if you stand up for the truth, and I don't condone violence, I always tell people I'm not promoting revolution, but instead an evolution of consciousness, where enough of us, millions of us, just stand up and say, no, we don't want your bird flu vaccine. We don't want this. We don't want that. What are they going to do? They would have to take their masks off to the point that they would initiate a revolution if they did that, because this country is not going to go down the way they plan for it to happen.
Yeah, you know, one thing about Musharraf that you just mentioned, it's interesting too. When you see the head of state that prefers to wear a military uniform, that's going to kind of tell you what's going to happen at the drop of a hat. And, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why he was so quick to do it. I mean, you've got somebody in there who considers himself a military man, like Castro did too. You know, and they're going to be a little bit more inclined to do a clampdown. But, and this is an aside, but I'm just going to throw this out to you. One of the things I think is going to happen in time is that Pakistan, who people have raised their voices in this country about from time to time, I think will be more thoroughly destabilized. And guess who's going to come in there and take care of business? The United States. And they're going to have their fourth jewel along with Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan. And I believe that that is what is going to happen, and what we're seeing right now is leading up to that. So I don't know if you want to comment on that, but...
Yes, I do want to comment on that, because I totally agree with you that that's what they're planning on doing. But you see, people are starting to say to themselves, let me get this straight. We have no money for health care in this country. Of course, you know, this S-CHIP program for the children, that's all about vaccinating them, so it's better if that doesn't get passed. But we have no money for this, we have no money for that, but we're going to continue to spend billions of dollars every week for all of these wars, and I'm sure that you realize the value of the dollar is just plummeting. I do consults all over the world to teach people how to reverse their vaccine-induced diseases, and I was really amazed. In Canada, the value of the dollar, it used to be like 1.4 Canadian dollar to the value of a U.S. dollar just a few years ago. The Canadian dollar is now worth more than the United States dollar.
Oh, yeah.
All they're doing is just manufacturing Federal Reserve notes. They're just printing this money. Yes, it's true, folks. Money does grow on trees. And I know that you had the Informer on recently to talk about the Federal Reserve scam and the IRS and all those things. I've had him on my show as well, so I won't get into those details. But people have to realize is that everything we've been taught is a lie. And what all we have to do is to fire these people. They should be hung for treason. Unfortunately, we don't have enough hanging, you know, posts to hang them all, because we'd have to include everybody in Congress. They all know what's going on. But all we have to do is to just say no, and no matter what they're planning on doing, it's not going to work out. That's why it's so important to get this information to the military, to the young men and women who are considering signing up for these fake wars, to realize that they're being used as guinea pigs. And I have a number of clients that are soldiers, and I can assure you that they're handing out my CDs right and left to try to wake up the rest of the soldiers, to make them realize that they're actually taking out the military. People have to realize that there's more soldiers dying from their inoculations than are even dying from gunfire. It doesn't happen right away. Sometimes it takes months or years for them to die from their vaccine-induced diseases. They're also diagnosing, so many of them with mental illness, because once they're diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, of course, they're not allowed to have a weapon, because they know that if there's enough military people that are awake, once they pull off whatever final scam they pull off, which is going to be like the emperor finally admitting that he has no clothes, you know, the military is going to hold their oath to protect this country from terrorists within very strongly. And they want to make sure that they're not able or capable of doing what they have to do. But I happen to think that higher powers are going to be intervening, and it's not going to turn out the way they plan.
We're up against the bottom of the hour, and at this time, let's talk about the website. Also, you've got a series of CDs, I think, that are available, and are you also in the process of writing a book?
Yes. I'm now offering, I believe it's up to 30 CDs now of my internet radio show. I've been on many different stations, but I've come up with a group of 30 CDs and the documents that are on my website that I'm offering to people. I'm charging $100 plus $10 shipping and handling for these. People are free to copy it all and give it to everyone they know. So if anybody's interested in doing that, please contact me. I am, in fact, writing a book. I'll probably call it Vaccines, the Weapons of Mass Destruction, because a lot of people don't get the inoculation word, in replace of vaccinations. And that should be out within the next few months. And I'm also developing a course to teach others how to do what I do. My Hippocrates protocol has to be individualized for each person or pet. It works for anything that breathes that gets a vaccination in order to reverse their vaccine-induced diseases, but I can't do it all myself. So I have actually over 100 people at this point all over the world that want to learn how to do that, and that should be ready after the first of the year. So those are the main projects on my plate at this point, in addition to doing individual consults for people that have any autoimmune disease or cancer.
Also, you have a call-in show, don't you?
I have a what?
A call-in radio show?
Yes. I have a radio show on BBS. That's boyboysamradio.com. The link is on drcarly.com, and it's on Station 2, so it's very important to click on Station 2 because there's multiple different streams on that station. That show is every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, yes, in fact, I love for people to call in and ask me questions.
All right, and how long does that show run, 8:30 to?
8:30 to 9:30. Usually, I oftentimes go over because at this point there's no show after me.
Right.
Sometimes it goes up to 2 hours, but there's no commercials. And the name of the show is What's Ailing America, and I answer it with whatever subject I answer it with. Vaccines, fluoride, I cover everything, aspartame. And so we talk about that subject. I oftentimes have guests that are talking about different aspects of whatever I'm talking about in terms of what's ailing America, and people are free to call in and ask questions. And I also talk about what's healing America, because it's very important for me to not just fill people with fear. There's so many people out there that are just trying to put you into a state of terror so that you will, just drink your cold ones and watch the boob tube and just hide your head in the sand and not want to get involved. The good news is there's lots of people like me and Visigoth. There's people everywhere that are telling the truth, that are finding out what's going on, and also giving solutions. There are solutions for everything that they're doing. And all we have to do is wake up enough people and cause this evolution of consciousness where this just flips right over. Because for every bad thing that they've done, there's a good thing that can take care of it.
I agree with you. And the whole medical situation, it's interesting. Doing health shows over, over 5+ years probably doesn't pull the best. And my guess is that it's not as sexy as this other stuff, Like you're talking about a lot of fear-mongering topics.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? And that's what I was saying to folks. And that is probably the number one New World Order issue, is to keep yourself as healthy as you can be for as long as you can. Because once you succumb to this health machinery, you'll never be the same again.
Well, not only that, but you see, as I'm sure you realize, Visigoth, that if your mind does not work, how are you going to be able to critically evaluate what you're being told by the fourth branch of government, i.e. the mainstream media? If your brain doesn't work, you can't, overstand what they're telling you. You can't put two and two together and have it equal four. You're just going to take this garbage in, garbage out. And that's what they want you to do. The only way that you're going to be able to become aware of the truth, use discernment, and do something. And I always tell people, every person has to decide for their own self what they're going to do. What Visigoth and I do, going on the radio and standing up for the truth and actually having a soapbox that goes all over the globe to do so, sometimes that gets a little interesting. You may not be willing to do that. That's fine. But whatever your spirit tells you to do, Certainly. The least you can do is tell others to listen to shows like ours and to evaluate this information. Please prove us wrong. Please prove us wrong. I would love for somebody to prove me wrong because I don't want to believe that my profession is causing the worst epidemic that the world has ever known. Unfortunately, I know it.
Yep.
I have so much proof of it, it's not even funny. So this is why I must do what I'm doing. My goal is to cause the death of medicine. And yes, the medical issues may not be as sexy as you say until you realize that you have somebody in your family that you love, a child, your spouse, your parents or grandparents, or your pet, that has some disease that was caused by inoculations, and perhaps they have died a very torturous, suffering death. Once you realize that, I don't care if it's sexy or not, you're going to get interested, and you're going to want to prevent that from happening to anybody else you love.
Yeah, and I, like I said, it's not sexy enough, but I think people are starting to wake up to the fact, especially when you get a cohort of listeners who are now just bringing children into the world.
Yes.
That makes a big difference. What I wanted to ask you also about before I go into something else, when is that book due out, do you figure, without, you know, being specific? Are you going to have it out sometime early next year?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't say exactly, but
okay.
It should be early next year. And also there's a veterinarian who is to pets what I am to people by the name of Dr. Patricia Jordan, who I'm going to have write a chapter in that book for pets as well. If you go to bbsradio.com and you listen to the archives, there are two shows I did with her in May. They're both 2 hours long, and these are included in the packets of CDs that I'm offering. These shows are so powerful that she is documenting what's happening to the pets, because you see the pets having much shorter lifespans than the people. They are basically the canaries in the coal mines as to what's happening to us. And she has been documenting for years the incidence of cancer right at the injection site of the pets inoculated with disease, all the different genetic diseases that are being caused as the plasmids of DNA are being transferred, especially in the thoroughbreds, the cardiac disease, the joint disease, it's all from vaccines. As a matter of fact, one of the most amazing things that she shared with my listeners was that the massive increase in dog bites that we're now seeing in this country is a direct result of the rabies vaccine. These dogs are being made rabid by rabies vaccines. And I had an amazing case in Long Island, and one of my clients is going to be calling into my show this Thursday, tomorrow actually, so it'll be after, or your show will be airing after that show's on, but people could find it in the archive.
Right.
Where this woman's child, first of all, he had Tourette syndrome from a vaccination, which I reversed him of that with my protocol. Then he was bitten by a dog, and his Tourette syndrome came back, not to the same degree, but it came back. And I realized that this child had actually been inoculated with rabies from the dog that bit him. And so I detoxed him of the rabies vaccine, and the mother told me how her child actually started acting like a dog during the detox. He was growling and doing things like that, and now he's fine. And she's going to call in and talk about that also. It's just amazing things that are coming to light because of the fact of what happens when you detox these things that are being injected into people and pets.
I health issues were one of the reasons why I started to go down a rabbit hole. There were a couple of things that were happening concurrently that finally took flight in early 2001. One of them was that I was kidding around one day with my wife watching TV, and I made the statement, you know, well, what do you expect? I mean, there's no money in healthy people.
Exactly.
And then, but, you know, I was kidding around. And then I realized as time went on, and I'm like, holy Christmas, it's true. And then we started taking a look at what we ate and the reasons why we ate it. And, for instance, not to go through the whole nine yards, but one of the things we thought we were doing because it was health conscious was eating margarine.
Plastic.
And then, there you go. There you go. And then I turn around and go, well, you sons of bees, you're selling this stuff as health conscious and it's garbage. And then it started and the ball started rolling. And I looked in and then, well, here I am today. And so one of the gates through which I entered this whole other world, if you will, was because of health issues and, you know, this whole bit about getting rid of all the aluminum that's you know, within your ground, I mean, the aluminum cookware, tinfoil, the whole, get rid of it. I mean, why do we have so many cases of Alzheimer's now?
Because of aluminum.
There you go.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you, it was hysterical. I watch C-SPAN's Washington Journal pretty much every morning as I'm doing my daily chores when I'm starting the day. And I do that so I can, you know, basically see what the people are thinking, you know. And it's really amazing. The people are actually calling in now and saying all kinds of things, like they have to look into 9/11 and things of that nature. But about a month and a half ago, they had a minion on from the NIH who was talking about Alzheimer's disease and all the new drugs that they've developed to treat Alzheimer's disease. And by a miracle, I actually got through. It's very difficult to get through when you call into Washington Journal. And I had my Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine in front of me, and I asked this minion about the relationship of aluminum to Alzheimer's disease, and he actually stated that there is no proof that aluminum is involved in Alzheimer's disease. So I read to him from my medical book itself, where it stated that when the brains of these Alzheimer's patients are dissected and stained, they all show aluminum. That is the focus of the neurofibrillary tangle. And he admitted this is true, and then he actually went on to state, but there's no proof that that's what causes the Alzheimer's disease.
Hello.
And my response is yes. When you stub your toe and it turns purple and red and you're having severe pain, there's no proof that the stubbing of the toe causes
that,
pain
right.
and the redness either. I mean, these minions are just exposing themselves as such frauds. And, of course, all he was on there was to talk about all the new drugs that they're developing.
Right.
And, of course, most of the drugs that they're giving the elderly people are actually causing dementia. Because some of these elderly people, I've had people with up to 20 different drugs that they're taking. And you just imagine, you know, the sewer, which is their intracellular fluids. I mean, it's amazing that they're even still able to breathe, much less function.
Let me run something by it, because you talk about starting your day off, you know, when you're getting kind of warmed up for other things, watching, in this case, C-SPAN. One of the things that has struck me very interesting, and let me just, before I run the scenario by you, frame something up, and that is... the two most indispensable, I guess you could say, commodities, if that's a good word for it, happens to be pretty much petroleum and pharmaceuticals. And behind those two industries for over a century have been the Rockefellers. Are we okay on that?
Yeah.
All right, we agree. All right, now.
Not only that, but let me just say that most of the pharmaceuticals also have petroleum in them. So it's funny how that works out.
Well, Doc, please forgive this graphic depiction of what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
My wife likes antiques, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so she found, you know, a poster and framed it and put it in. You know how, like, when you have two bathroom stairs, the girl's bathroom and the guy's bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, she put it in the guy's bathroom. Now, knowing how I have to relieve myself, I'm standing there and I'm looking straight at this framed poster. And don't you know that it is an advertisement for, get this now, you're going to love this because this should never really be. And that is a child's laxative called Nujol. N-U-J-O-L, and it was petroleum-based, and guess what loving people brought it to you? Standard Oil. And this is like, this poster goes back to like 1910.
Wow.
So, I mean, yes, petroleum was first seen as a possible health benefit, and then, of course, it's evolved into what it has with combustion engines. But I just had a laugh because, you know, here it was, and I never really paid much attention to it except for those little intervals when I was in there. And I'm looking at this going, holy mackerel, not only... does it show the link between petroleum and pharmaceuticals, but this unneeded, you know what I mean, additive to force kids. I mean, I know they do get, you know, constipated at times, but, you know, come on. I mean, 7 years old, it's going to happen, you know, but anyway. So there you go with that little episode. But here's where I'm going further. Just the other, I guess, couple weeks ago, the Today Show expanded exponentially from 2 to 4 hours. And in some locales, it will come back at noon for a fifth hour. And I'm like, well, this is interesting, considering this, that they obviously broadcast from The Rock, Rockefeller Center. And they bring out this shrew. I mean, like, almost every day now, they're Dr. Nancy Snyderman. Have you checked this one out?
No.
You know, it's one of those things, Doc, where you want to get up and put your fist through the TV set. I mean, I'm watching this woman come on. And, I mean, I've watched her over the years and thought she was okay before I got wise. But now when I know what they're talking about, I mean, she is selling every kind of pharmaceutical vaccination that she can. And I'm looking at this, you know, and I was saying on another show, it's like I want to get into the studio and grab their faces because it's got to be, that's got to be a mask. I mean, it's like, why don't you people just say you're lying? It's amazing. But I find it interesting that the Today Show from Rockefeller Center has now just absolutely kicking butt on Good Morning America and the other, the CBS early show. And I think it's for a reason. I think a lot of people now are starting to trust more and more, you know, this Today Show, and they're bringing everybody out of the woodwork for every wrong reason, you know, that you can. And
well,
of course,
I would only disagree with you and say that it's because people are not trusting the medical mafia. You see, that's why they're so desperate in trying to bring out their talking heads to convince you that things are good. CNN, if you check out CNN in the morning, they've now gone to a, I forget what they call it, but they have less commercials during their morning show. And the reason is because they're funded by Pfizer, so they have all this Pfizer stuff going on. And, of course, that station has Dr. Sanjay Gupta to convince you that you should be doing all the medical things. So each station has its own medical minion to try to convince you of all of these things, and especially of the benefits of vaccinations, because too many people are waking up. As a matter of fact, here in North Carolina, there was an article in my local paper, the Charlotte Observer, where they were actually talking about how many parents now are getting religious objections and how this is like such a danger to the other children. And, of course, my response to the editor, which, of course, was not printed, was, if the vaccinations work, then why are the vaccinated children at danger at being exposed to the unvaccinated children?
Right.
That is the hard question that you all need to ask.
Another thing that's interesting, and I think I'll send you this image, whether you choose to use it or not. I never put it up on the website. But a listener who is a, I guess you could say a farm tech, has had a father who was, you know, a long-time pharmacist. And he was gifted, and you remember the way these things used to be back in the 50s and the 60s, when they would give somebody a plaque, it usually was like, you know, with a barometer on it, you know what I mean, and a clock or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this came from Pfizer because I guess his drugstore had like sold, I think, a million prescriptions. And so they gave him this kind of plaque. But do you know what also is on it as the logo that Pfizer embraced? It's the Eye of Horus.
Really?
Oh, I'll send it to you. There won't be any problem. You can post it.
Oh, please do.
This,
how obvious is that?
Well, this is why the individual sent it to me. And, of course, you'll see where the name might be a little bit readable. And so if you can do something about that, fine. Mm-hmm. Because I want her to keep – she never asked for anonymity, but I think she should have it. However, the photo of Horus is why she sent it to me. And she was saying the same thing, like, what is up with this?
Well, you see, back in those days, see, these minions, these elitists, these, you know, Illuminati, whatever you want to call this group of people that control the world, they like nothing more than to put things right in our face.
Yeah.
There was actually a movie, I forget the name of it, but where they actually stated that, you know, hiding in plain sight, you see, that's the way that they like to do things. And as we've talked about before, they also like to tell us what they're doing, but they do it through movies and things of that nature so that they can basically say, oh, it's just a movie when it actually happens. But now too many people know about this whole situation. There's too many websites out there, thank God for the Internet, that people have access to this information. So I don't think they're quite as in our face with those kinds of things today as they used to be. But I'm sure that gave them, you know, they all had a good laugh at giving that pharmacist something like that, because I'm sure he had no clue what it meant.
No, and of course, many of us didn't. You know, probably our parents' generation, you know, there's always people in every generation who got it and whose voices have been kind of lost or were drowned out, as ours might be. But no matter what, I mean.
No, ours will not be.
All right. When I look back, though, I used to think about the gray-haired cranks who were telling me this stuff. And, you know, me laughing at him, and now I'm not laughing anymore, you know. But I've turned into one of those gray-haired cranks, but it's worth it, you know.
Well, see, I never heard this from any gray-haired cranks. I was so naive. when I went to medical school in the early 80s, I actually believed that I was going to be allowed to help people.
Yeah.
And it was my experience, of course, and I talk about this on the interview on my website by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance. If any of you want to hear my story, how I went from being a general surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, and how the medical mafia has rewarded me, laugh, laugh, mm-hmm. for stepping out of the box. You can listen to that interview, which is about an hour long. But, of course, I believed that, you know, I would become a doctor and that I would be able to help people. And this was like the ultimate goal of my life. I was so proud to have reached the epitome of all my dreams coming true. And you can imagine the dark night of the soul that I went through when I realized that my profession is now killing people and causing all these diseases. And so I didn't have the benefit of any of those gray-haired
cranks
enlightening me in those days,
yeah.
but I wouldn't have believed it either. But you see, now there's not just the gray-haired cranks telling people.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other people telling people and giving them the documentation that it's all true. And that's why the Internet is so important, because you can find this information. And once again, don't believe anything, folks. Check it out for yourself. But when people can document things and give you actual proof that all these things are true, that's when you have to start asking yourself, does this not explain everything going on today? And the answer is yes.
Doc, let me ask you, before your book comes out also, I don't think this is a bad resource, but I'm going to ask you to weigh in on it. As far as the history of vaccinations, in a sense, certainly going back to the beginning of the 20th century, did you ever read Eleanor McBean's The Poison Needle?
No, I never read that book. I would love to read.
Yeah.
I would love to get a hold of that book. But let me tell you, the most important book in my vaccination library is Vaccination, the Silent Killer, A Clear and Present Danger,
yep.
by Ida Onoff and Eleanor McBean. And in this book, which you can get on eBay, that's where I got mine. Of course, it's out of print at this point. They actually explain and prove that the 1918, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. Spanish flu epidemic was not Spanish flu. It was actually an inoculation-induced disease caused by soldiers given the vaccines in World War One.
Right.
But the best part of the book, and I have it right in front of me, on page 94, they talk about how Ida Onoroff and another individual actually brought a lawsuit against the federal government in the 1970s when they tried to push the swine flu vaccine, and there was this epidemic of Guillain-Barré syndrome that was occurring,
yep.
so they wanted to stop it. And the judge in the case dismissed their lawsuit, telling them they did not have standing. And when asked how they could get standing, and I quote, it says, "We were told that if you took a shot and dropped dead, that would give you standing."
Great.
I mean, you got to laugh in our line
yeah,
of work. Is that not amazing?
Yes.
You got to be dead to get standing. Of course, it's a little hard to stand when you're dead. But you see, that's what proves that these minions know exactly what they're doing. And of course, my experience with the courts when they took my only child away from me, and I went as high as the U.S. Supreme Court to try to rescue him, and realized that the courts are totally corrupt. There is a conspiracy, folks. These people are all involved in trying to oppress us, in trying to get us to do the bidding of the powers that be, in reducing the population, in making us sick, and getting us totally dependent on, quote-unquote, the system for the, quote-unquote, benefits. You don't need the benefits. The benefits are killing you. And that's why I always laughed when they were talking about all this Medicare legislation and all the, you know, the elderly people are fighting for the right for their prescription drugs. That's what's killing you, people.
Right.
Stop fighting for your right to prescription drugs. You need to be taking supplements and detoxing yourself.
Also, when I just a second ago, I was checking to see if this book was still online to be read, but it's gone. There was a website that did have Eleanor McBean's Poison Needle. Replete, and it's gone now. So, unfortunately, there was a time when you could read it online. I know a bunch of folks did and did comment to me that they had gone there, but unfortunately, it's not there. But, you know, it's still worth the purchase to be able to read this. And
yeah, I'll try to find it. I'll do a search to see if I can get a hold of that. I hadn't heard of that one.
Yeah, you know, and one of the other interesting things that's happening right now, too, and that is when you take a look at the public education system, and you see what the children are allowed to eat and all the junk that's there. And then you realize, as Carol Cimentacci had written in the book The Crazy Makers, that these kids' brains are being starved of nutrition.
Yes.
And on the other hand, I'm thinking they're probably not got Dorito dispensers every 5 feet in private schools and prep schools. So this whole dumbing down that's taking place has already started with the children and their access to horrible, horrible food, which unfortunately too many times is reinforced at home because, you know, mommy and daddy don't have the time to do this, they don't have the time to do that. But, boy, wouldn't you not agree that nutrition and taking the time, if there was ever any issue you would devote that to, would be nutrition for your child in these formative years?
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned that because although inoculations are my passion and my mission to stop this assault on humanity, if you go on my website and click on the big picture, and I did a show explaining the big picture, and it's a two-hour show, and that's going to be included in my CD package,
okay.
It is all of these things. It is everything that they've done to us, and of course you are what you eat. So if you're not taking in not genetically engineered foods, non-pesticided foods, milk is a toxic poison with all the pesticides and the growth hormone. 100% of milk now has bovine leukemia virus.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I learned from Dr. Patricia Jordan. So, of course, all of these things are involved. As far as the children's minds go, it's the vaccinations. And if you read the book Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality by Harris Coulter, you will realize how the post-encephalitic syndrome is causing not only all of these different learning disabilities and autism and things of that nature, but also the violence that's being involved is also very much due to this. It's the psychiatric drugs that are then being prescribed for these conditions that have side effects of homicide and suicide, et cetera. It's the water that they're drinking that's laced with fluoride, which is a mind control drug and causes all kinds of other effects as well. It's the food that they're eating. It's the pesticides in the schools. I have an interview on my archives with a man by the name of Steve Tweeden, who is to pesticides what I am to vaccines. He actually owned a pesticide company, and his father died, his son died of cancer. He got cancer himself, and that's what woke him up. And he has developed natural pesticide solutions for every bug you can imagine. He offers this free online. You can get this information at the best control, that's best with a B, not pest with a P, thebestcontrol2.com. You enter in a bug. He tells you how to get rid of it naturally. But on my show with him, he describes what happened to the IQs of the children just from stopping using pesticides in the schools. Because parents don't realize these schools are being sprayed at least every month with all kinds of poison. So it's all of these things. It's the big picture. And that's why you have to realize that you have to learn what's good and bad for you. You have to stop using aspartame. You have to stop allowing your children to be exposed to all this fast food and all the other garbage, the food colorings. I mean, I could spend 2 days on the air just going through that information. But once you learn what's bad and you delete it from your life, you learn what's good and you add it to your life, you will experience a vibration of wellness unlike anything you've ever known. I feel better today than I did when I was 20 years old, and that is because of all the detoxification and other things that I've done. And it's possible for anybody, and it's the best thing you could do for yourself. It's a miracle. It's a gift from God.
Two things before we have to part our ways. Are you familiar with it, and Dr. Evangelista?
No.
All right. He's been on the show. He is living in North Carolina, and he's a former FDA agent who has come out against the FDA. And I'd love to have you have him on to share with your listeners because...
Hopefully send me his contact information. I would love that.
Yeah, he's a good man. And he gets it beyond just the FDA. He understands the big picture.
Yeah, the FDA, the Fatal Drugs Allowed Agency, yes.
All right, another thing I want to get out to you also is I'd like to send you an image of what I found in a November issue. I forget what day. It was the 16th, the 18th, I don't know, or 14th, in 1963. It was a block ad taken out in the New York Times by a consortium of physicians in Manhattan that was begging the city council not to fluoridate the water system, and they called it in the ad a drug of mass medication. This in 1963. So when people go, oh, fluoride, I'm going, well, then why would these doctors all those years ago take out an ad like this in the New York Times? What, doesn't that tell you something? You see, this is all forgotten. But you got to see it. I mean, it is very, very compelling.
I would love that. And let me just say, I also have a CD that I did on fluoride, and I talked about there was actually a lawsuit in the 1970s that was published in the New York Times where the family got $750,000. A little two-year-old child suffered a cardiac arrest after getting a fluoride treatment. And I will say also that there's a group in Long Island. Long Island is the biggest area that I know of in this country that is not fluoridated. And this is because of a Fluoride Action Alliance in Long Island that brought a lawsuit to prevent it.
Good
of
deal.
Course, the reason they did that was because Long Island's water is so toxic that if they'd allowed fluoride into it, people would have been dropping like flies even more than they are now. So they had to take one of the poisons out of the water.
Lastly, Doc, let me throw this by as far as, like, is this getting through to anybody? Every so often, the Pasco County water people send around a breakdown of the parts per million or whatever, contaminants that are in your water, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm looking at this thing, and there's like 14 of them. So even if there are 14 elements in your water of contamination levels that are acceptable, if there's 14 of them, doesn't that kind of mean something's radically wrong?
Well, not only that, but I will also send you some contact information from about a reporter by the name of Janet Phelan. Who was basically working in Los Angeles and uncovered the fact that they have instilled dual water lines into pretty much every home in the United States with valves that are controllable by remote control. Apparently, they are planning on delivering other stuff to selected individuals down the line. And that's why it's so important for everyone to have a water filter at the intake level to protect themselves.
Good point. There's no doubt about it. And I tell you what, I don't remember if you remember, I don't know if you remember Frances Schaeffer.
No.
How Then Shall We Live? Well, when I first accepted Christ back in, what was it, around 81, I watched this series he did of documentaries based on his book. And one of them was about injecting stuff in a water supply. Now, you got to understand, I wasn't ready for that in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that now. So, at any rate, listen, one more time, drcarley.com, that is the website, am I right?
Yes.
All right.
Carley.com.
All right, check out the radio show on Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Also, be looking for her book. And I'll tell you, among the many things that Iman has done for me intellectually, one of the things that was nice was the fact that we went up on the same email list, and I said, you know what? I should have had a V8. No, I should have Dr. Carley back on. So thanks to Iman for rekindling that that thought after so many years. So you sound good. You sound very positive, and I'm glad to hear it. And long may you run.
Happening. Don't be afraid, people. We can change things in a heartbeat once we reach critical mass, and thanks to people like Visigoth, we will do that. I know that. I don't believe it.
All right, Dr.
God bless you, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
God bless you, too. It's not the last time we've spoken.
Okay.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Someday, when my life has passed me by, I lay around and wonder why you were always there for me. One way, in the eyes of a passerby, I think around for another try. Song from another. said we tried too long. Someone said we got it all wrong. Someone said we tried too long. Is there a place where I belong now?
Yeah.